Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's great to have you with us, and we're now calling our special guest.
Hi, this is Vicki. You've reached my cell phone. I'm not available
to
take your call.
We're
please leave your name.
Try to get a hold of her because her call dropped just as we were going live on the air, which is very interesting. We don't know why those things happen, technology, but we're continuing our exclusive series with Dr. Victoria J. Monlock. Dr. Vicki, as she called. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. The wonders of technology sometimes, right? I tell you, they are very interesting.
Challenging sometimes, but...
Challenging sometimes. Yeah, call just disappeared. Who knows why, but hey, there's a doctor in the house, so everything is good. And Dr. Monlock, has been doing the work she's been doing for a long time. She's one of the best in the business, an inspiring physician who is doubly certified. And she's also changed her career focus several times from group to private practice and OBGYN to general and internal medicine, and later to holistic wellness and alternative therapies. She has spoken often on the web, radio, and also here on Close Up Radio, and she's about to wrap up an extensive series. She's discussed novel therapies in the past, including the purest collagen supplements, blended medicine, bioidentical hormone replacement, and wellness models. Dr. Monlock, or Dr. Vicki, as patients affectionately refer to her, has also been most vocal on her feelings about disparities in the way American medicine is provided and the demise of old-fashioned doctor-patient relationships. She's going to approach some of the most provocative topics yet from regenerative medicine, once referred to as stem cell therapy, to energy medicine. She'll also address aging and anti-aging, exploring the shades of difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease and novel approaches to treatment for them both. The doctor will also revisit favorite topics from past shows and her books, such as autoimmune disease and hormone balancing therapy. It's really a fascinating conversation. She's been doing this work for over 35 years, and she's extraordinary at what she does. Let's welcome her. You just had a little teaser. We had her pop on there. But let's welcome her officially to this episode of Close Up Radio as we continue our exclusive series and also kick off the month of August together here on Close Up Radio with Dr. Victoria J. Monlock. Dr. Vicki, an official welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, we've been talking about a lot of incredible and important and impactful topics through our series. I'm going to kick off as we kick off the month of August together, Doctor, with regenerative medicine, which I think is so vital and so important. Tell us, what are PAFs, and are they the same treatment once referred to as stem cells?
Well, you know, we did, the regenerative medicine pretty extensively last time, so we'll recap that this is placental amniotic fluid products, which is the newest term that the FDA wants us to use versus stem cell. But the world of regenerative medicine as an anti-aging technique is something that a lot of people have maybe heard of, really don't have much understanding of, think that it's something outside of their grasp when it really isn't. And, you know, the idea of placental amniotic fluid products has actually dropped the price point from what stem cell therapies at a cost of about $5,000 to $10,000 per cc when it first started. Now the proteins and growth factors of PAFs have brought the cost of one cc to about $1,000, which is still not chump change. It is still not covered by insurance, but it is a far cry from the $5,000 to $10,000 per cc that it was as little as 5 to 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Nice to just do that little recap there for folks who are joining us. If you want to hear the full episode, everybody, where we talked very extensively about regenerative medicine, go back into last week's episode. We actually kicked off the month series with that episode, and that was really very, very eye-opening on many different levels. As now we're in week two of the August month, and we're moving into a whole other area, we're going to talk about autoimmune disease. And I'd love to know, and this is something fascinating, because we all need to eat, and we need to have food, but how can food trigger responses in the body and its immune system?
Perfect question. And, you know, the ancillary question to that is, why do some people react and others don't? And it's usually that our immune system will react to proteins, and it will react to things that are foreign to the human body. And the earlier that exposure happens, the more likely your immune system is likely to react and then overreact. So food is something that, yes, we all need, and food as protein in the American diet will usually come from non-human sources. It will come from chickens. It will come from beef. It will come from soy. It will come from milk-based products, whether it's goat-based or cow-based, or whether it is artificially made like in a formula. But best, then, they say, is mother's milk, which is human-based. So a lot of early childhood allergies were felt to be triggered by having non-human proteins introduced too soon in a pediatric diet. So how soon is too soon? Well, that's always a question for your pediatrician or family practice doc. If you're a family that tends to have food-triggered allergies, then that's usually also going to tie in with a GI tract that isn't quite working up to snuff. So a lot of kids with colic are felt to have a higher potential incidence of earlier autoimmune or food allergy kinds of symptoms, because the stomach is the first route of how we start to break down our food. We're supposed to have a very low acid content in our stomach, but we also have to build the normal gut flora, our microbiome, to help us to also break down our food appropriately. So things that can change that stomach acid pH, things that prevent us from doing a proper job of keeping that pH, like perhaps an antibiotic. So kids who may have a lot of ear infections and they're on an oral antibiotic may actually have be a setup for food allergies down the road. So it's something that it's chicken or egg. You've got to treat the ear infection, but you also need to make sure that you aren't causing any issues with the GI tract in your child as, you know, as they're developing.
That's essential. That's really news that I don't think a lot of people realize, how food can really have those impacts on the immune system. Does the American food supply contain different ingredients and additives compared to other countries?
Absolutely. In fact, there is a large body of professionals and healthcare professionals that firmly believe that the gluten sensitivity and gluten intolerance is so much higher in the United States based on DEET, the pesticide that was approved and used back in the earlier part of the 20th century on our food chain. And it was sprayed across wheat fields and corn fields. And DEET actually became incorporated into the wheat seed, and it cannot get out. So when people have a gluten sensitivity or worse, celiac, which is their GI tract, is now overly sensitized to the wheat. It really wasn't about the wheat. Many experts felt it was about the DEET in the wheat. And that sounds like a tongue twister, but DEET as a pesticide was banned in Europe sooner than it was banned in the United States. And those patients in the U.S. who cannot eat wheat can, when they travel outside of the U.S., many times tolerate wheat that is grown in Europe. And it's fascinating to think that something that simple could be the cause. You'd think we'd be able to kind of maneuver that DEET out of the DNA, but we can't. We haven't been able to figure out how to do that yet. And so there are wheat repositories around the world that have small stashes of pre-DEET wheat seed for research purposes so that they can actually study this. But wheat is only one example. You know, other pesticides, other additives, other things that preserve the shelf life of food that is sprayed on food, for instance, to help it to ripen faster as it's being transported. You know, a lot of people don't realize that things like broccoli are picked very, very early in its growth pattern, and then it's sprayed while it's being trucked to help it achieve that green color that we see in the supermarket, but at what expense? So I've always said to my patients, homegrown or locally grown is many times going to be a much better option. Obviously, in cooler climes, we have to rely upon our food source being brought in from warmer climes. So that puts people in northern climes at a disadvantage.
Mm. And it's really fascinating information that you're dispensing. What about other factors that influence immune response, such as fast food, which a lot of people consume with the busy 24/7 lives we live, and even pollutants?
Right. Everybody thinks that it's only ingestible allergens that are going to cause food allergies or, you know, rashes or other issues in your body, but realize that GI symptoms and poor, difficult breathing can all be from air pollution and all of the things that are in the air. People that are having allergic reaction or asthma exacerbated by the Canadian smoke in the air is something that may actually trigger a longer-term allergy to smoke, and something that even being around a campfire may trigger a closing of a throat. People that have GI bloating or reaction, people may actually have a skin rash from food or from inhaled allergens that they're taking in. So joint pain can be another one. And what a lot of people really don't quite understand is that you've heard the old adage, you are what you eat. Well, if you are eating pure food and it is food that you know where the source is coming from, you know if there's been any pesticide applied to it, then you also know you're getting the food versus food plus chemical. And most of us don't think of putting DEET or Roundup on our table as and spraying that on our food before we eat it. But that really, if you think about it, is kind of what happens to our food supply. So take any processed food and read the list of ingredients on the back. And if there's this old saying, if you can't recognize the ingredients on the back, then it's like your grandmother said, don't eat it if you don't recognize it. So we wouldn't be eating a lot of the foods that we ingest on a regular basis based on the list of ingredients.
Mm, That's very, very true. But now the companies are, you know, being told the ingredients need to be on there, which is so incredibly important. And that's been a positive step in the right direction, right?
Well, as long as people understand that when they read that list, realize how many are things they recognize, and if it's more things they don't recognize than things they do recognize, maybe you should put it down. And maybe you should move on to the next thing, because that may not be what you want to put in your body. So.
Yes, and that's so important. Exactly. That's why you make your sourdough bread from scratch, and I've had it, and it's delicious, folks. Her sourdough bread, we were there on a television shoot, and she sent me home with a loaf of sourdough bread, all made from scratch, fresh ingredients. And that's important, you know, have a garden, grow things, you know, be very cognizant of what we are consuming and putting in our bodies as we're talking about autoimmune diseases and things that can certainly trigger them. What are some common autoimmune diseases you'd help people to understand or overcome? And even for the audience, how do you define what an autoimmune disease even is?
Well, autoimmunity means that your body's immune system is attacking itself. And so if you think about all of the different organ systems in your body, your immune system can attack every single one, from your skin with skin rashes to your eyes with itching and allergy, you know, reaction and watering, to your muscles, which an allergic reaction to your muscles, nobody thinks about that, but a lot of people actually have a muscular reaction to allergens. MS is actually an autoimmune attack to the brain. Ulcerative colitis is an attack to the GI tract. Rheumatoid arthritis is an attack to your joints. So if you think about it, every organ system, and especially the number one organ that gets attacked, is the thyroid. And you say, well, why the thyroid? My goodness gracious, that's such an obscure organ. Why would the thyroid get so attacked? Well, realize that especially in the center of the country, or the Midwest, as we're called, there is no natural iodine in our fresh water, versus in the coastal regions, you have iodine in your air, you have absorbed moisture from oceans. You have iodine in your food supply because you have a higher incidence and a better availability of seafood and wild seafood and wild harvested salmon and fish. And so, yes, most autoimmune disease is you are attacking proteins. And proteins that are foreign certainly are things like fish or crustacean, very high. But a thyroid, when it cannot get adequate iodine, is going to look foreign to the body. And so the body will actually attack it. And so the incidence of autoimmune thyroid disease, or Hashimoto's, is a much higher incidence in the center of the country than it is on the coastal regions. And it's the actual reason why way back in the 1800s, the government asked Morton to put iodine in its salt so that there could be a ready, available supply of iodine anywhere in the country, even in the Midwest. But thyroid is your metabolism. It controls the speed at which your body works, so it impacts every other part of your body as well. But your immune system makes different types of cells to help protect the body, B cells to protect your blood, B for blood, and T cells to protect your tissues, T for tissue. So the T cells are usually the ones that get hyped up, overactive, because they're seeing things in your tissues that they aren't supposed to be there, in your GI tract. They're seeing proteins that they don't like seeing, maybe from milk or eggs or from fish or from gluten, or they're seeing from preservatives like sulfites. And so it's attacking those proteins, but those proteins, as they're being absorbed into your GI tract through the mucosa, your GI tract doesn't know the difference. So think of it like Pac-Man. It takes a bite of the sulfite or a bite of the allergen, but it also gets a bite of your GI tract. Well, then it learns to attack your GI tract. Oh, goodness gracious. And so, you know, our body is smart, but it can get fooled. So.
Yes, right, exactly. I like the way you put that, because that is so very, very true. Yeah, that is true when you think about it, because there are times when you think you're doing the right thing, and all of a sudden, boom, not so much.
Well, and I'll give you one other example, and it's of the pancreas. A lot of people wonder why we have so much diabetes in the U.S. Well, obviously, part of it is that we have such a high sugar content in the processed food in our American food supply. That's a different topic for a different day. But there is a lot of research in food allergy, in the food allergy world, that says that your insulin is very closely tied from a protein basis. Your insulin that your pancreas makes is very closely tied to the proteins of milk. And cow's milk, if you are going to react against cow's milk, you may actually cross-react, and just like your body gets fooled and it will attack your gut wall, well, it can actually attack your pancreas, which is what's making your insulin, because your insulin has a very similar protein sequence to milk. And so when you get a milk sensitivity or allergy, you actually may be creating a worsening potential for attacking your pancreas and potential diabetes based upon exposure and continued exposure to something your body isn't liking, which might be milk and milk proteins.
Mm. Wow, that's really fascinating on so many different levels. You know, parents struggle with so many different things with their kids these days, and trying to help them understand the children's sensitivities and sort of build wellness early on for their kids. What message do you have, doctor, to help assist parents and help them understand the children's sensitivities and really point them in the direction of building that wellness that they so often desire?
Well, the first and foremost is make certain that if you can, as a first, you know, exposure to food for your newborn, if you can breastfeed, do it. If you can't, and I totally get that, what you may end up needing to do is go with hypoallergenic formula, which is very expensive, much more so than regular formula, but it may be in a family prone to food allergies. It may actually help prevent those allergies from setting up in your newborn. Then as they are growing, watch for skin rashes when they're outside. You know, and it may be that if you're in an inner city environment, you don't have a lot of options for what your air quality is. You may not have a lot of option for where your kids are playing, but be aware that these are things that can lead to overactive immune system, and have your child checked when they get a skin rash. Check to make sure that it may or may not be an allergic rash. If they're having a lot of GI symptoms, start cutting out processed foods and substitute more whole foods. It takes a little more time to prepare a whole food than to pull something off of a shelf or out of a can that's processed food, but it may be worth your child's health. Joint pain, those are things that very often are an autoimmune issue, not just that they played too hard or did something too long. So realize any organ can be attacked. And so good solid nutrition, good, wholesome, whole foods. Try to cut out as much of the fast food as you can. Make more meals at home. And certainly if you have any kind of asthma, look for cross reactivities with actual shortness of breath or exacerbation of asthma, which may actually be an autoimmune response that you're getting on top of an asthma situation. Most of us aren't born with asthma. We have a response to something that our body is inundated with as we inspire it in and it gets into our lungs. So know that a lot of things are environmental. Some of it is in our food supply. Be careful that you don't overexpose a lot of processed preservative-based foods to your kids or to yourself. And as an adult, one of the worst things you can do is a lot of antacids. You don't want to change that low acidity in your stomach. Your stomach has to digest proteins, and proteins are part of what can actually trigger a lot of these food allergies, and they can lead to other areas of your body having allergies as well. So there are food allergy testing that you can do. A lot of it is blood-based. Vibrant Labs is a lab that I would use quite exclusively for food allergy testing. They do a marvelous job. But know that a lot of it is as commonsensical as you would think it would be, but know that autoimmune disease is something that it's your body attacking your own tissues. It's your adenoids doing it. And those are those things that get enlarged in the back of your throat when you have too much strep throat. Lymph nodes that enlarge can be in your neck. Those are the most obvious ones that you see. But your spleen, which is underneath the left rib cage, is an organ that helps to kind of be the repository of a lot of these cells. Your thymus, which is under your breastbone. There's a lot of tissues in your body that harbor these these immune tissues in your body to help you to fight bacteria and things that are foreign to you, but to also help you stay healthy. So have it be a good trigger of your immune response, not an over response of your immune system. That's what gets us in trouble, and that's what can cause issues for your GI tract or your thyroid. And then once your immune system is sensitized, it's pretty hard to put that horse back in the barn. Your immune system is never going to forget. It's like an elephant, never forgets.
Yeah, that's so important, right? It doesn't. It has a memory of its own. What would be, on this particular topic, which is so important, because this is everyday living, the foods and the things that we consume in our everyday lives and the exposure to things in the environment and just everyday living. And of course, there's radiation that comes from our cell phones and all the technology around us. There's so many different things we have to deal with. What would be in summary for this particular topic, because next week we're going to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia, which is another very important, impactful topic, and that's on the rise as well. What would you say to somebody right now who thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and is thinking about, what do I do next?
Well, certainly the number one thing to check for is, do you have the right stomach acidity, number one? Do you have any thyroid autoimmune issues? That's a simple blood test. Get a full thyroid panel plus the antibodies and make certain that your pancreas is functioning for you, not just the blood sugar, but what is your insulin doing? And do you have an insulin resistance? And might that be food triggered by things, dairy? So those three main things would be the first place to start. And then if you don't need an antibiotic, don't just take it because, oh, it sounds like a good idea. And I almost always get a sniffle in the winter, so I'm just going to start an antibiotic early. Don't do it. You're going to actually sensitize your body and your immune system so that you're going to have trouble in the next time when you really, really need it. So antibiotics are going to cause GI tract problems and sometimes even autoimmune disease.
Very important. if folks want to make contact, learn more, what's the best ways they can do that, Doctor?
My website, which is Victoria J. Mondloch, MondlochMD.com. My books that I write are there. The archived radio shows that I do are there. My YouTube, very short 2 to 3 minute YouTubes are there. So lots of information. Victoria J. Mondloch, MD.com.
Always a pleasure, Doctor. Always enlightening and very enriching conversations. And thanks so much for digging in deep with autoimmune diseases and everything we need to be aware of. Always insightful information. And looking forward to, again, diving into a very important topic next week, Alzheimer's and dementia. So I encourage folks to tune in for that episode as well. Have a terrific day, Dr. Mondloch. And again, thanks for stopping by Close Up Radio. It's always enlightening and such a pleasure.
My pleasure.
You have a terrific day. Our very special guest, Dr. Victoria Mondloch. She really is one of the best in the business, and she cares. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Until next time on Close Up Radio, appreciate you being with us as well. And if you want to go back and hear any of the previous episodes of our series, Regenerative Medicine, and many other topics we've been talking about with the doctor, they're all archived, and we encourage you to listen and enjoy. Take care and have a terrific day. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.